They were twins in a mother's womb. One asked the other, "Do you believe in life after delivery?" The other replied, "Why, of course, there has to be something after delivery. Maybe we are here to prepare ourselves for what we will be later." "Nonsense," said the first. "There is no life after delivery. What kind of life would that be?" The second said, "I don't know, but there will be more light than here. Maybe we will walk with our legs and eat from our mouths. Maybe we will have other senses that we can't understand now." "That is absurd," the first replied. "Walking is impossible, and eating with our mouths? Ridiculous. The umbilical cord supplies nutrition and everything we need. Though the umbilical cord is short, life after delivery is to be logically excluded." The second insisted, "Well, I think there is something, and maybe it's different than it is here. Maybe we won't need this physical cord anymore." "Nonsense," the first cried again. "If there is after delivery, then why has no one ever came back from there?" Delivery is the end, and in the after delivery there is nothing but darkness and silence and oblivion. "Well, I don't know," said the second, "but certainly we will meet Mother, and she will take care of us." "Mother? You actually believe in Mother? That's laughable. If Mother exists, then where is she now?" "She's all around us," the second said. "We are surrounded by her. We are in her. It is in her that we live. Without her, this world would not and could not exist." Said the first, "Well, I don't see her. So it is only logical that she doesn't exist." To which the second responded, "You know, sometimes when you're in silence and you focus and you listen, you can perceive her presence and you can hear her loving voice calling down from above." So the first twin does not believe because they have not seen. The second twin believes, yet has not seen. But this does not alter the love that mother of those twins has equally for both of them. I think it's no accident that the account of Thomas's doubt is recorded by John. It's brought comfort to many, and I include myself in that. But it's comforted many throughout the millennia because it acknowledges our narrow, our human, our natural rather than supernatural vision. But Thomas is loved just as much as the other disciples. But Jesus does say that those who follow, and that includes us, will receive blessing for believing yet not seeing. And that blessing is peace through the forgiveness of sin. For all that, Thomas tends to get rather singled out by this. But sometimes I think it's not just the story of the one who doubted. It's also, I think, the story of the relieved ten. Most had deserted at the time of the crucifixion, and now they were huddled behind locked doors, scared for their lives. But Jesus appears to them to bring them his forgiveness, his peace, and a promise of help, the Holy Spirit. By the time we meet the disciples again in the book of Acts, they are transformed beyond recognition. So what has happened? Let me just give you a little recap. After Jesus had appeared to his friends and his followers, he ascends to heaven, and the 11 become known from then as apostles. They continue to meet and pray together and are joined by others who believe. And there are about 120 gathered together with when Peter, yes, that very same impetuous Peter who had denied even knowing Jesus and yet who has now emerged as their leader, Peter organizes an election to appoint a further apostle to replace Judas, just as it was predicted in the scriptures would happen. Then at Pentecost, when all the believers are gathered together, they receive the promised helper, the Holy Spirit. And here is the moment of transformation. It's all change from here on. Peter preaches to an enormous crowd with boldness and authority, and the believers speak in other languages so that everyone there can understand. We heard that this morning. God can give the ability to speak in other languages, and to some it's given to understand. They form a community of both men and women which grows exponentially. They perform miraculous healings in the name of Jesus, and the number of believers grows. Peter publicly accuses the religious leaders of killing Jesus. Whoa. Can you imagine this fisherman saying to the religious leaders, who must have had an iron grip, quite frankly, on Jerusalem, "You killed that Jesus." Can you imagine him saying that? And the number of believers rose. Peter heals a well-known local disabled man and uses that as a public sermon in the temple. So Peter and John are arrested, and the number of believers grows. Peter and John at their trial wouldn't take back anything that they said. So they're released, actually, because the authorities don't know how to charge them without causing a riot. Remember what happened with Jesus. They're not going to cause another uproar. And Peter and John pray that a prayer that's very powerful. They say to God, "Would you stretch out your hand in power to help us preach boldly?" And when they pray that prayer, we sometimes forget some of the little details of the story. When they pray that prayer, the ground shakes. The earth actually physically trembles at that point. And the number of believers grows. They continue to preach, to heal, to cast out evil spirits, and the number of believers grows. All the apostles are arrested and once again are released. And then they're arrested again. But the jail gates just open miraculously and they walk out. And guess what? The number of believers grows. And now the apostles are back in the temple teaching and saying that they do not submit to human authority, but only God's authority. And that's where we meet them in that reading. Literally nothing will shut them up. Nothing will shut them up. They have a compelling story to tell. I like to go to sleep listening to radio dramas with headphones in, and things like the Radio Moth Hour broadcasts. And I can be transported by a good story. And I hope that by kind of thinking about how good these stories are written and told, it perhaps maybe hones my skills as a preacher. But the story that the apostles and the disciples down the ages have told is not just a good story. It's not just a good story. Stories well told can make us believe, even though we don't see. But this is not just a story, because the risen Jesus meets us by the power of his Holy Spirit, so that we know and we trust somewhere deep, deep down, something that we can't explain, just like that second twin who just knew deep inside him that he is there and he loves us and he forgives us. So, are we transformed beyond recognition? Are we bold? Are we confident? Do we have a compelling story to tell? Well, sometimes, sadly, not. Because we may have experienced that, you know, first flush of passion at our conversion, but then are knocked back by what life throws at us as we try and continue on that journey. We meet those disciples when they're about to start a long and hard journey of continuation, to leave behind the former things, their whole cultural identity, actually, as Jews, is utterly ingrained, and they're to leave that behind. In some respects, not totally, don't get me wrong, and preach this Jesus risen from the dead, the Messiah, come to forgive sins. And I think God knows that we grow jaded and sceptical, and we're discouraged by the kind of derision or the disinterest of those we try to tell our story to, or by the sheer hard graft of life. And church life too, actually, I might add. By trying to keep the institution of the church afloat, perhaps, and not the message. And then by our own doubt. I think doubt is a thing that's never... You know, you doubt or you don't. I think it's something that we waver at as we look at what's going on around us and in our own lives and try and weigh it up about with other things. The truth is, we can't keep going on our own. As Alan pointed out so well last Sunday, the gospel does not make common sense. I sometimes say to people, actually, the gospel's bonkers. And there are times when I think, honestly, do I really believe this? It seems crazy. But here's the good news. The apostles and the early disciples acknowledged that none of what they were doing was from their own strength as storytellers or as healers. It was all the work of God's Holy Spirit. And the good news is that this is as ready and available to us as much as it was to them then. So our prayer needs to be, come on, God, stretch out your hand, do your stuff, so that the number of believers grows. And if you are doubting, as we all do at times, if you're wondering how to continue in the faith you once received, remember that you are no less loved by God. Thomas was no less loved by Jesus at that moment. You are still forgiven and still have a story to tell that may help others to take that leap of faith so that they can also experience that love and peace and forgiveness. It's not because we want more people in our club. That's not why we want more believers, or God wants more believers. It's because God loved the world so much that he gave his only son for it, that whoever believes in him will not perish. And that is the blessing that's promised. The blessing promised for those who believe, yet have not seen. We can tell our compelling story with confidence, because it's both our story and his story. His story. Interesting. And in doing so, do you know what? You might find that it kind of rekindles your own belief and strengthens you. Sometimes that bit in our story, you know, where we have struggled and we have doubted, is what actually connects with people. Sometimes people find it hard if somebody presents them with something that there's just absolutely incontrovertible, they're so absolutely sure of. There's something about that that puts people off, I think. We don't see it all clearly yet. But somewhere deep down, in that quiet place, we still believe. And in our doubts, we can say, and yet. John ends his eyewitness account by explaining the whole purpose of his writing that gospel. He says, the disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. Jesus told Thomas, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me.